This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Nice to catch up with a good friend. Sugar Ray Leonard is with us. We've had wonderful talks over the years, not only about boxing, but about life in general. Ray, nice to catch up with you. How's everything?
Hey, Ron, it's been a while, buddy. Good talking to you again.
Yeah, let's talk about the state of boxing. As you take a look over the landscape of boxing, what is it that concerns you? What is it that you're happy about?
I am so disappointed with the sport of boxing. First of all, Ron, there are very few, if not one, maybe superstar in boxing. And that's sad. That's a sad scenario for the sport of boxing. And the reason being, I think, is because promoters don't promote the fighters anymore. They promote the fight, the war, the rumble in the jungle. They don't promote the fighters, and so the public doesn't have a chance to know that guy, know who he is, why he does what he do. And that's a problem. I think that's a major problem because no one knows these guys.
But hasn't it always been that way, Ray, for a long time? I mean, I'm just trying to think, except for HBO, where they would get into the personality of the fighter and package it up before a fight, the media generally went in for the hype rather than for anything else.
But, Ron, also, they did little vignettes about
Yeah. Who
this guy is, you know, where he's from, you know, his kids, his wife, his girlfriend, what school he went to, what's his education. They did all those things. So people saw him as a human being, as a nice guy, and they had a more of a vested interest in that boxer.
It's always been a commodity business. Is that any different today?
No. It's, you know, when I was fighting, I became a marketable commodity. No, it's no different. The only difference is a lot of our boxers, our amateur boxers, don't have the proper training and supervision that we have because they need more experience in amateur competition. Because it bothers me that they don't have boxing, amateur boxing, on television like they used to in the past. Years ago, they had, you know, the Golden Gloves, National Golden Gloves was on TV, on network television. And now you rarely see that.
How much does luck have to do with a boxer's eventual ability to maybe get a championship?
Luck helps sometimes because we all are not in that position that we call the shots. All the guys don't win a gold medal, so they're not in a position to kind of call the shots. So luck sometimes happens. You know, you get called upon because you, last minute, you know, some guy got injured or hurt or whatever, and they call you and you get your shot. Or you with a promoter that will really push you to get a title shot within 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about, being with the right person who is well-connected and, you know, can put something together. I mean, is it purely luck in that standpoint? I mean, if you were to take 10 boxers, how many of them do it on their ability and how many of them do it because they happen to be connected with the right person at the right time, right?
I would think 2 would do it on their own ability, but for the most part, majority of them do it because they're connected with the right person or right entity.
You mentioned about winning the Olympic gold medal in 1976 at the Games up in Montreal, Canada. I remember watching you up there. And, you know, there's been certain athletes in my career that I've watched, John Elway in football, others like that. You just knew was going to be successful at the next level. And I knew that about you as well. We don't seem to have the same focus on Olympic boxing that we once had. Why is that?
Well, like I said earlier, Ron, because of our amateur foundation, it's not as strong as it used to be. And these kids, unfortunately, are turning professional way too soon. If they get a bad call or bad decision during their amateur career, they quit and go right to professional. And that's not smart. That's not cool. They need to get as much exposure, as much experience as they possibly can during their amateur career so that when they turn professional, they're more seasoned and more prepared to take that next step.
Does the Olympic effort, though, to a great degree, reflect on good boxing today in your mind, Ray?
It used to, yes, without question. It used to because you saw guys, you said, mm-hmm. Well, that guy can fight for the title right now. Because you saw guys and you saw their talent in the ring. You saw how well they were, how comfortable they were in the ring and how they displayed ring generalship. I mean, boxers were so, God, they could outclass each other.
When you take a look at the motivation for Sugar Ray Leonard to fight and you take a look at these young fighters, do you see any deviation from what it was that motivated you to be in this game compared to them?
Whatsoever, Ron. You know, the reason I turned pro, the only reason I turned professional was to help pay bills for my parents. My father was desperately ill. He had spinal meningitis and tuberculosis. My mother, you know, she was working hard herself overtime. So I turned pro to kind of make a few dollars. and never realizing that my career would be so illustrious. But thank God I did turn pro because I was able to retire my parents and take care of them.
I saw recently a program that I thought was just outstanding. I think it was just a half-hour show, and I think you remember it as well. I don't know. I think it was on HBO, and about you coming back and taking on Marvin Hagler after you'd been away and everything in that fight. When you look back on that fight, what are the memories that Ray has about that fight?
Well, I recall when I first even murmured or suggested that I was going to fight Hagler, the world thought I was crazy.
You're right.
I remember Barry Tompkins interviewing me. He said, Ray, you know, he's not serious. He's not serious because Barry came down, I think it was to Florida, to meet with me and to interview me, and I think it was HBO. And we talked on my boat, not my boat, but a boat I chartered. And I'm talking about, you know, trying to create a scenario for him. And he looked at me like, you know, this guy's crazy. He just knew I lost it. But everything I told him actually came true.
It's interesting about that because I've always found that there are certain athletes that need to have a challenge. They need to go against conventional thinking in order to bring the best out in them. Was that part of the factor in your fighting?
Well, I always went to the edge. I always like looked over the edge and see how far I could go. But also to take in consideration, because when I came back the first time of my many comebacks, I fought Kevin Howard and was knocked down by this guy who was nothing compared to Marvin Hagler. So when I waited an additional 3 years and came back against Hagler, they said, if you can't beat a guy who's 147 and 149, how can you beat one of the top middleweight champions in the world, undefeated, in 11 consecutive years? But I saw something during the fight, his fight with John DeBeast Mugabe, and I saw that he was being outboxed. So I figured, if there's any time for me to get Hagler, it's now.
I know you know as well that it's often been said that so goes boxing, so goes the heavyweight division, or vice versa. And yet, that's not the case today. We don't have kind of a charismatic and also marquee kind of heavyweight fighting champion today. Why has that changed, and is it really important to have a good heavyweight champion for boxing to flourish in your mind, Ray?
Well, boxing is synonymous with heavyweight. When you say boxing, you think about heavyweight, the heavyweight champion. For some reason, the heavyweight division is so just fragmented. It's so broken to pieces. It's really weak, very, very weak.
Do you think anything will change over the next, say, 2 or 3 years in that
Things
division?
Things always change. There's always bright. And I'm an optimist also. But there's always some bright star that tend to brighten up the sport of boxing again.
Ray, I remember a conversation that you and I had, and I thought it was one of the most interesting answers you've ever given me to any question I've asked an athlete. And I asked you why it was in the sport of boxing, it seems like the boxers are like fire horses. When the bell rings, they always come out, even if they are beyond their prime. Now, Muhammad Ali fought beyond his prime. We've seen numerous other boxers do that. What is it in boxing and in the fighter that makes them answer that bell, even after they should not, knowing what is at risk to them physically?
It's that instinct. It's that inner strength. It's that it's like a automatic pilot they have, we have. And we will go on, you know, maybe the first round, and you may notice his equilibrium is not right.
Mm-hmm.
You may notice his hand speed is not right. But in his mind, everything is perfect until he or we or I get hit. Then you realize, you know what, I'm too slow to be in here. I should not be in this ring. But boxers have the biggest heart. And also, I tell you, they're the most compassionate people in the world. You may read them wrong sometimes because of a bad day or a bad bout or a bad training day. But for the most part, boxers are very compassionate people because the sport, the only guys that succeed are the people that give the most. And because boxers are really it's a poor man's sport, boxers have such dedication, and they go beyond the limits to be the best, in shape.
How many fights did you have in which you won on skill, and how many fights did you win on your brain and just kind of outsmarting your opponent?
Wow, that's a very good question. I mean, there were moments, I mean, like with Hagler, I beat him on just brains. I beat him with speed. Durant, the first fight that I lost, I mean, that was all heart. With Tommy Hearns, I had to use both. I had to use my heart and also my ability. So it depends on which fight it was, because those fights defined me, really, because they brought out the best in me. And in order to survive, and also in order to dominate, it's a certain mode, Ron. That, I mean, I look at myself now in retrospect.
Mm-hmm.
I say, who is that guy? Because I'm a non-confrontational guy here until I'm pushed. But for the most part, I look at that guy and I say, you know what? There has to be some kind of metamorphosis, some transformation that made me that fighter, because I was pretty tough.
Ray, I want to thank you. It's been too long since we've talked like this, and I hope it won't be as long the next time. Thank you, my friend.
Ron, thank you so much, buddy. I love you.
Take care. Sugar Ray Leonard, 5 times he was a champion. He won 5 world titles in 5 weight classes. And if you take a look at his overall record, 36-3, 25 knockouts, and he also was a gold medalist for the United States coming out of the 76 Summer Olympics. We'll take a break. Continue with more of you and Sports Byline. I hope you enjoyed this special Sports Byline interview. For more interviews, visit sportsbyline.com. I'm Ron Barr.